Just what is it that you want to do?
We want to be free!
Yeah.
We want to be free to do what we want to do!
Yeah.
And we want to have a good time! And that's what we're gonna do!
I'll keep this intro short and sweet. When O'Neill Gibson and I were chatting for the full episode that also went up today, I simply had to ask him some very specific questions about the upcoming NBA season, since I know he is as big of a fan as I am. We ended up talking about a bunch of NBA-related things, and I loved it enough that I didn't want to simply relegate it to being a post-credits stinger scenario, but also know that not everyone loves basketball as much as we do, so it also didn't feel like it fit within the full episode. Thus, my first ever mini-episode. So as previously stated, my guest for this episode is O'Neill Gibson. During our conversation, we discussed the ongoing James Harden drama in Philadelphia and how that affects Joel Embiid's future in the city of brotherly love, hating the fact that we have to root against Austin Reeves, why the Phoenix Suns had to make the KD trade, the chances the Suns win the franchise's first championship, and we even tacked on a little Philadelphia Eagles hype as well. Sports! I'm Justin Gott, and this is What Do You Love? So, as much as we have talked about sports, I'm going to say now to anybody listening that if you are interested in football and basketball, things of that nature, we're going to do a little bit of an extra, whatever you want to call this, like overtime with O'Neill. We're going to do some quick predictions, some quick talk. If you don't like sports, thanks for listening. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, exactly. I won't feel bad if you turn it off, but I had to, since I got you here and you're sure. About to head into a season where you're going to be, you know, at the games and stuff like that. I want to get your feel for your Clippers. When I say your Clippers, because you work for them and they keep the roof over
the bills,
but also your Sixers and this Harden thing. I have to get your opinion on this Harden thing. And I got to know where you're at. Got to know where your heart is. Got to know what you want. Because I don't even know what you would want at this point.
You know, it's funny how, like, I want James Harden gone, right?
Yes, you do.
The team he wants to go to is the team I work for. So it's
it's the best.
Cannot escape this man. I'm like, there's no way this is my life. Like,
it's amazing. I love it so much.
What do I tweet? I don't know how to tweet now. But the Harden situation as a whole, bigger than Harden, my issue with this is we've legitimately, like, fumbled 13, 14 years of my life. Like, legitimately, Justin, like, we fumbled it. Like, I'm never going to get these 13 years back of pure mediocrity. Like, what are we doing? And it starts, like, yes, play on the court is questionable sometimes. Yes, the coaching is questionable sometimes. But, like, it really starts up top. I look at our management over the last couple years. Since Sam Hinkie left.
But that's changed.
But it's that we can't hit. We just keep picking the wrong person. We should have never fired Sam Hinkie because he had the vision. And I think everybody else came in and did what they wanted with his vision. They're like, oh, this is cool, but I'm going to go ahead and do this. And I'm going to tweak it and I'm going to do this. And it just hasn't worked. I could talk about what everything we did wrong for hours. But specifically on the Harden situation, I do want him gone just because he doesn't want it anymore. Him averaging 20 and 10 and all that, that's great. Like, numbers are amazing. But when you really watch us play, like, I know a lot of people don't. But when you actually watch us play, you'll be like, what is this? What is the product that you're getting from this man? And I understand you get older. Like, he's not 25 anymore and he's not going to score 36 a game and all that. But, like, he doesn't even want to score. He just doesn't. He just wants to pass the ball. And, like, I don't have time for that.
He has no first step anymore. So he's gone. Can't get by even the jab step pullback. The guy's like, okay, I'll just stay with you because yeah. You're not going to go by me.
Contest, get a hand up. Good day.
I mean, I think as an outsider, I feel like the only good option for all of this is that he comes back, he plays well for the money that he is getting, and tries to use it as a jumping off point to get a better contract next year. Like, that's the only thing I see, but I don't see how he's actually going to be able to perform.
My thing, if you want to stay on the contract portion of it, he did himself a disservice. One, I don't know what deal him and Daryl Morey handshook on or whatever. You should have never did that. Like, I don't know who in your circle was like, hey, that's a good idea. No. Secondly, you literally were a free agent. You could have went anywhere else. So that tells me one of two things. One,
there's no market.
There's no market for you.
Yeah.
Two, you really don't know what you want to do. you're kind of just saying you want to leave. Do you really want to leave? Like, he's not really forcing the issue like he did with Brooklyn last time. So we'll see what happens when the season starts. But why sign? Why sign for $36 million unless you couldn't get it anywhere else?
I've seen it reported that the thought was probably that Houston was going to happen. Maybe Udoka got the job and he was like, I don't want this guy here. And then Houston was kind of like, well, we just signed this coach to a bunch of money. We can't really bring this guy in. So
yeah,
let's give our money to Van Vliet and Dylan Brooks and whatever. And this is just what we're going to do. And now Harden has no idea. So he signs and tries to force his way to the Clips. I don't know. Like
sometimes you got to be realistic with yourself. And I'm sure James Harden, like, I know for a fact he thinks he's like God's gift to earth. Sure. And like, he has some years where he probably played like he was, you know, I'll give him that. But you got to be realistic about yourself. Who's going to pay a 34, about to be 35 year old aging point guard who was already first step is shot? Like, who's going to give you a max contract to just come in and average, like, because he's not going to score 21 again next year, like average 16 and you'll probably still get your 10 assists. But how much defense are you playing? You know, how many shots are you actually taking? How many quality shots are you taking? That's the thing. Like, and he's complaining more now to the refs than he's ever done because he's lost his athleticism and now he thinks he should get every call. Like, you're not going to get it. And then it's the headache, the conundrum of James Harden. Like, he'll have a game when he gets you 42 points in the playoffs and you love him.
He won you love two him games, for right?
it. Like, oh my God, thank you. But then the next game he gets you 8 and it's like, bro, I can't live like this. The super highs of James Harden are not worth the lows. Like, I'd just rather get rid of him. And I'm not to the point like where some of my, you know, Philly fans are crazy. They want to blow it up. I'm not there yet, but like, I do understand the thought process behind that.
That was going to be my next question. So over under 1.5 years of Embiid still in Philly.
Here's my thing with Embiid. Typically, I feel like you can get a read for this. Like, I don't know about Embiid. Like, part of me thinks he wants to stay in Philly his whole career. But then at the same time, when you look at it, Embiid is 30. He's not a young cat anymore. He's 30 years old. You know, them knees is about to be beat up soon. And he's going to want to at least play for a championship. I think if we at least made the finals or at least made the Eastern Conference finals once, I don't think it would be a doubt. I think he'd be here for the rest of his career. But like, it's got to get to a point where you're just tired of this. And I can't blame him for that. So for your over under, did you say 1.5 years?
Over under 1.5 years, Embiid in Philly.
He's got 2.
Okay.
He's got 2. So I'll take the over. He's got 2. More than that, ugh, you should have set the line at 2. I would have had no idea what to
do. Nah, you just said Bush. That's no fun. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I can see the article is kind of, if you all start like 4-11 and Harden is no showing and Embiid's left carrying that squad again, I don't know, man. New York's going to be sitting there doing this. And
but then I'm like, why is New York so confident Embiid's going to, like, why is that the spot?
Yeah, no, it's true.
Why is that the spot that Embiid wants to go to? They're just like waiting for it. Like, get out of here. I've seen so many reports about the Knicks calling. The Knicks are calling to check in on Embiid. Like, yeah. Get out of here.
You're not interested in a RJ Barrett and Mitchell Robinson package?
No.
No.
Get that out of here. And I'm going to be real. That's another thing about Embiid. I have no idea what a trade package for him looks like. Who knows? Like, I don't think we'll get the haul that you guys gave up for KD. And he's almost 5 years older than him.
I don't know. See, that's what I don't know anymore. I feel like we just gave up way too much for Durant, but you had to.
You had to.
And so it's so weird, that situation, because he wanted to go to one team. So you would think we would have had all the leverage, but somehow we ended up giving up way more than we should have. It's a very weird thing that happened with that.
I think y'all were, because it was the trade deadline, right? I think y'all were kind of to the point where it's like, if we're going to do this, we need to do it. And the Nets kind of asked for what they asked for what they asked for. And y'all were just like, all right. And y'all had just got a new owner, correct?
It was literally that week.
Yeah.
He
so I'm
did
sure
it.
He was like, hey, yes, he definitely did. I'm sure he was like, hey, like, I need to shake something up as soon as I walk in the door.
He's an interesting person, that's for sure. He's killing it. I mean, you were talking about all the years that, you know, you've lost or whatever like that. That was the Sarver years, right? Like, for me, like,
yes,
we wasted Nash's whole career, you know, and
I agree.
Had so many opportunities where we sold draft picks and we gave away guys because he didn't want to pay him. And I mean, guys from Joe Johnson and Quentin Richardson, and even to some extent, Marion and Amari, you know, like, that left because he wouldn't pay up. He never went into the luxury tax. It's never an option. So Nash was just left making Jared Dudley and Boris Diaw look like all-stars and, like,
oh yeah,
still getting us to the Western Conference Finals with, you know, the squad we had. So having a new owner, he's just making it rain. Yeah. And it's amazing. Like, I don't know. I have pretty high hopes this year. I do. The last 3 years I have, but this year I probably have the highest hopes.
Well, for you guys, right? Like, at least, I mean, I'm sure these last, what, since Chris Paul got there 4 or 5 years, that's probably been amazing for you. You probably just been like, oh, this is great. It was after the pandemic.
Because we went to the bubble and went 8-0, and Chris was like, oh, I want to come there now. And so that's when we got him. So 2021 season.
And then it immediately worked. There was like no question about it. Like, he came right in. It was a seamless fit. Him and Devin Booker shot it off amazingly.
We went to the finals.
Went to the finals. Like, great, great. So you guys having this new iteration of that team, you know, you got rid of Monty and things like that. Frank Vogel, we'll see.
He's saying the right things.
He's saying the right things. You know, and for Frank, I think he was a good coach. But then, you know, when you get stuck with LeBron and you don't win, it kind of hurts your resume.
Well, he got fired because the Russell Westbrook experiment was a terrible one and he got blamed for it. That's why he got fired.
The strays. Because everybody was calling for Pelinka. I remember that. But then Pelinka turned it around. I can't say anything about him anymore.
That's another.
I know.
No, that's the Lakers getting what they want again. Somehow they were able to trade Russell Westbrook, who nobody wanted, who everybody knew he wanted out and that they wanted out and everything. And they managed to get three rotation guys. And like, how is this possible? Of course, they find the like, so they got the best thing that happened was when Alex Caruso, they wouldn't pay him.
Left.
He goes to Chicago. Everyone loves Alex Caruso in LA. They're just like, this white boy, you know, he can hoop. He's great.
Yep.
Why'd we let him go? Also like that. And what happens? They get themselves another white boy that I can't root for. And I hate it.
I love Austin Reeves though, man. AR-15, man.
I do too, so, but like, I can't root for him.
It's one of those things, man. Like, I just hate the Lakers, bro. But I do like, I look at their stats and I'm like, okay, AR played good. All right, cool. Just because, like, he was one of those players that I watched in college. Like, I remember seeing him as a sophomore and being like, oh, who's this white boy with the swag right here? Who is that? And then seeing him, like, junior year, he took that next step. He was putting up, like, 18, 19 a game and whatnot. And I'm like, oh, he's tough, dunking on people.
He's got that really annoying game. Or, you know, like, where he goes in and just barrels in and gets the fouls. And it's such an annoying game. Like, you love it when it's
soft touch, he'll bump you, touch. And he's, like, flexing on you now. He's starting to get some swag to it. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the best thing about it, like watching the Team USA stuff right now is like seeing him like with McHale, like, and because, you know, of course I still love McHale, and like him doing this to him and stuff like that. Like, just going to give Austin more swag. That's great.
Yeah. I'm happy for him, man. It's like a feel good story, man. Second round pick. He bet on himself, turned into $52 million. Like, go ahead, man. And at the end of the day, he's playing with LeBron. Like, that's dope. Do that. And hopefully he can learn as much as he can from him.
And the thing with Lakers fans is they do, as much as we give them, they do love guys who go all out. They always have. And that's why they kind of loved Artest when he was there, is because that's what he did, right? And that's why they loved Powell. And that's, you know, obviously Kobe was the ultimate example of that.
Ultimate.
And so for a guy like this, it makes sense. It makes sense. And he's going to have a good following. I do not want to hear any more of this. Austin Reeves is recruiting people to LA, because we need to cool it.
He's not there yet, y'all. Relax.
No, McHale and Halliburton are not coming to the Lakers because they want to play with Austin Reeves.
AR-15. Like,
that's actually my worst nightmare, is McHale Bridges as a Laker. That's my just worst nightmare.
Can we just stop saying the name McHale Bridges for the rest of the time that I'm with you? Like, you know, I'm scarred.
I'd like to take this opportunity once again to thank Ono for McHale Bridges.
Oh my gosh, like, we don't gotta get back on
that. I love it. He's my favorite non-son at this point, but it was Booker Bridges. Like, it was like, he was right there.
The thing with McHale, and that, like, I kind of I don't know if you get to see this version of him in Phoenix. He's kind of taken on this leadership role, even like just the way he's kind of like carrying himself now. I'm like, oh, okay, like, who is this guy? This looks like a franchise player right here.
It started to happen in November of last season when Book was hurt. And I'm sorry, in January, because Book was out from a lot of November, most of December. And then he came back for the Christmas game, played 4 minutes, got hurt again, like reaggravated. And so then it was basically McHale's, like, okay, you're running the show. Because Chris, I think, got hurt at one point too. Everyone was hurt last year. But
yeah,
between January and the trade deadline, McHale was like 24, 11 boards, 7 assists. I was like, oh, this is it. Like, he's realizing this. And then it was, will it work with Book? Like, is this going to be a thing where,
right.
And I think they got a few games together, if I remember right. And you could see he was hesitating and like he didn't want to step on Book's toes, things like that. But the way Book is, he was always like encouraging him, go. Do your thing. I wonder sometimes, like, if he hadn't done that, if the Nets would have been like so much like, we need him. Like, if maybe it could have, yeah. You know, I don't know what the trade would have been. Like, because just Cam wasn't getting the job done. But anyway, like, I feel like he earned that spot as being the guy being traded for KD because he's going to be legit. He's going to be an all-star, I think, at some point.
Well, that's the conundrum in, like, as for a coach and a GM and all that, like, and like, I don't know how, sometimes I don't know how these guys do it. Like, I know it's a business, but for me, I would be, it's like a struggle. It's like, is that maybe the hesitation is why you trade him? Because it's like, is he going to continue to hesitate being on the court with Devin Booker? But you have an opportunity to go get a guy whose name is Kevin Durant, who nobody's going to, like, he'll never defer to anybody. You got to force him to shoot. Like, Mikal, shoot it, mm-hmm. shoot it. Whereas KD is like, this is going up. But at the same time, it's like, I love him. He's a young player that is getting better every game, clearly.
Yep.
What does our future look like with him? So, you know, sometimes that GM job is tough.
I said it the night of the trade. I've said it since the trade. I will say it forever. If we win a title with KD, obviously, you do that trade 1,000 times out of 1,000.
Absolutely.
You know, it's been 55 years as a franchise, never won a title. You got to win your first ring, and that's what you got to do. And this is hindsight, so it doesn't matter. But if we don't win a title, if we go 2 years, 3 years, whatever, KD, he retires, he gets traded, whatever, and we win no rings, I would have rather not made the trade and been able to root for Mikal and Cam and Book together and that squad. Because that finals team in particular was the most fun team that I've ever rooted for in my entire life. I love, like, those guys, just the joy. They, you know, going back to even how we started our conversation, it's competitiveness and it's the joy that they brought to playing the game. And you could tell their smiles during the game. Like, they just, everything about it, it made it fun to root again.
Even before the game, that season, like, I used to see videos all the time of them dancing and just having a good time vibing on the sidelines. And
campaign, like, that's, and Aiden. That's what you, and, yeah, yeah.
That's what you want to see.
It was so much fun. Obviously, you can't do the hindsight. And so you take the best option. And the best option is one of the 12 best players to ever play the game. You get him on your team.
You do it.
Predictions? It's hard for me not to say we're going to go win. I really, like, I think we fixed our bench.
So I agree with you. Like, obviously once the trades happen and whatnot, everybody's first thing was like, yeah, their bench is decimated. Who are they going to sign? I will say, I think y'all did a phenomenal job filling out that rest of that roster. Even Bol Bol, like, if that works, bro, if that works,
right?
Just the if, it's a big right. If, but if that works, come on. That's a huge piece.
He's worth $1 million.
But yeah, like, exactly. He's worth it.
Yeah.
That the project of Bol Bol is worth $1 million.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, like, he gets to, like, you get long, lanky KD to help him, you know, like, maybe he can give him some of that. Who knows? It's worth an experiment. But outside of that, like, Eric Gordon, like you said, like, amazing. I think when the Clippers traded for him last year, he did absolutely what he was supposed to do. Like, I have no gripes for his time with the Clippers. I think he still has a lot left in the tank, man. Yeah. I think people think Eric Gordon is older than he actually is.
Yeah.
He's got a lot left and he can still go.
He was hitting 30 footers in those games just last week. So, I mean,
yeah,
think about it. He's out 30 feet. You're guarding him. You don't get to hang out in the key, you know, and wait for Book and KD to get their mid range so you can put a hand up. You got to respect that, right? So I don't think,
absolutely,
I don't think Gordon will start, but I think he'll close a lot of games.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's definitely not going to start.
No, I think it'll be one of the Okogie, Keita, Bates, Diop. It'll be one of those guys that'll get the start.
My only concern with your team right now is that y'all don't have a true point guard.
Sure.
That's kind of where I'm at. Like, I like the idea of running Bradley Beal, and, you know, Book has learned. He's been amazing with Chris Paul, turning into a better playmaker and whatnot. I just think y'all need an actual point guard, somebody to kind of come in and control things. Maybe Bradley Beal can do it.
So, pushing back, name me the true point guards in the NBA right now. How many are there?
I know you're gonna kill. Like, I already know what you're gonna do. You're gonna hype on. You're gonna stay on this word true. It's gonna kill me. But how many are
you
there?
You just said we're not gonna win because we don't have a true.
When
point
I say
guard.
True point guard, I mean like a point guard. Bradley Beal is a two guard, legitimately.
Yes,
two guard.
So is Booker.
Yes, 100%. So I'm talking about like a
who cares? Positionless basketball. Let's go.
Let's go. There's going to be a few games this year when you're like, when something stupid happens at the end of the game, you guys lose and you go, damn, Chris Paul never would have did that. That's all I'm saying. And hopefully it's not in like the playoffs or anything, but yeah.
Well, it won't be in the playoffs because in the playoffs, Chris Paul wouldn't have been able to play because he'd have been hurt. So,
and there you go. And there you go. It's a great point.
Feeling good about the Eagles?
Yes. Eagles, I feel really good about. It's kind of scary though, right? Like your team does really good, makes the Super Bowl, and you don't win and you're like two plays away from winning it. It's like, can we get back there? Like it's been 20 years since the last one I saw. And I thought we were going to go back the last time. So I know how hard it is to get there, but I think our team has enough talent and enough belief from the players. Like that's one of the things when your team is good, like you really tap in and you listen to interviews and you care about what everybody's saying and you read different articles and things like that. I think the team, like for the most part, they're acting like they didn't even go to the Super Bowl last year. They're still hungry. Jalen Hurts is more hungry because he lost. And we see how he acts after he loses things. Like he turns it up a level. So I'm excited, man. I'm super excited for the Eagles. I couldn't be more happy as an Eagles fan. Sixers, we already spoke about.
Yeah, I was going to say the way you are with the Eagles is how I am with the Suns right now. Like I'm feeling like because I do not care at all about the Cards this year. Like the Card, we're going to go 2-15. Bring me, you know, USC kid and bring me Marvin Harrison Jr.
Go
bring me both of those guys because we got the Texans pick. So bring me 1-2. Start over. I'm good. I don't care about this year. This year doesn't matter. Keep losing. That's all. So I'm 1,000% Suns, and it's just like I can't wait to get my heart broken again.
It's coming. No, man. Don't say that. You guys. I think you'll be good. You just got ballers on your team. Like as long as they just come in, do their job, and play a little bit of D, y'all good. The team I'm super excited to watch this year is OKC. I'm tapped in. I'm probably gonna watch every game I can. Whenever they're on TV, I'm gonna watch it. I just like their dynamic. I love Chet. I saw Chet play this summer, and I like what I saw. Shea, oh my gosh, what? Who saw that coming? If the Clippers knew that he was gonna be like that, there's no way they would have traded him for Paul George. But yeah, you know, I think the NBA is gonna be a great season. It's gonna be a great season in NBA this year. For sure.
I think so too. This episode was produced by yours truly. Please follow the show on whatever platform you're listening on so that you will be sure not to miss each new episode. I also love reviews and love them even more when they're 5 stars. So if you're able and willing, I'm ready to read them. Thanks again for listening. I'm Justin Guy. Good night and go Suns.